Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. And good afternoon. I think we're going to have some opinions today.
Yes,
we're going to test that disclaimer.
Yes, today we hope our listeners will call in. This is Sharon Lockhart with Amy Bell, and we hope that you will call in and participate in the show today because we came up short on a guest, but we've got lots of things that we can rant about. Anything you would like to rant about, you could call in and express your opinion. Anything you would like to share. I mean, there's so many things. But first, we have the women's e-news that is going to be read to you by Amy, and then we'll be back. So be thinking about what irks you that you want to talk about.
Well, no. More than that is there's a lot of controversial stuff that's going on right now, and we're going to talk about all of it.
Good.
News. Ended its controversial reform of the main umbrella group of U.S. nuns, the Associated Press reported April 16th. The move cements a shift in the tone and treatment of the U.S. nuns under the social justice-minded Pope Francis. The Vatican said it had accepted the final report on its overhaul of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious and declared that the implementation of the mandate has been accomplished nearly 2 years ahead of schedule. The umbrella group for women's religious orders had been accused of straying from church teaching. I think there are still some questions about how this is going to play out, but that it concluded early was an overwhelming affirmation of what the sisters do, said Natalia Imperatore Lee, a religious studies professor at Manhattan College. More news to cheer this week. The Oregon House voted April 15th to give prosecutors more time to bring criminal charges in some sex crimes, the Associated Press reported. The House unanimously backed an extension of the statute of limitations from 6 to 12 years for the most extreme cases of rape and sexual abuse. Activists had pressed for 20. The Washington Nationals baseball team announced they would improve their space to better accommodate nursing mothers, Jezebel reported April 9th. The announcement comes after a woman attended the team's season opener last week and found the room to be stuffy and not private, resulting in her starting a petition on change.org. MSNBC host Micah Brzezinski's nationwide Know Your Value tour and conference began April 10th in Philadelphia, NBC Philadelphia reported. Philadelphia is the first stop of the tour, followed by Washington, D.C., Chicago, Boston, and Orlando, Florida. The conference features workshops that will help women become more confident and learn how to achieve success both personally and professionally. China unexpectedly released 5 female activists on bail after a vocal campaign against their detention in the West and by Chinese rights campaigners, Reuters reported April 13th. The women were taken into custody on the weekend of March 8th, International Women's Day, and detained on suspicion of picking quarrels and provoking trouble. They had planned to demonstrate against sexual harassment on public transportation. 3 rapists in Busia County in western Kenya were sentenced to 15 years in prison, almost 2 years after they committed the crime, NPR reported April 13th. In June 2013, Liz, a 16-year-old, was beaten and repeatedly raped, then thrown unconscious into a pit latrine. Across the country, low-paid workers in all fields protested to demand a $15 minimum wage. In New York City and Oakland, California, for example, fast food workers walked out and blocked traffic. Fast food workers are predominantly women and often heads of households. Hillary Clinton hopes the Supreme Court will rule in favor of same-sex marriage, the Huffington Post reported April 15th. Her statement comes after years of shifting her opinion on the issue. In 2013, Clinton endorsed same-sex marriage, but believed the decision was ultimately up to the states. In 2008, during her first presidential run, Clinton supported civil unions, but did not support full equality. End years. In a report released April 15th, Human Rights Watch accused the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria of war crimes and potentially crimes against humanity for its treatment of Yazidi women. ISIS forces have committed organized rape, sexual assault, and other horrific crimes against Yazidi women and girls, Liesl Gernholz, Women's Rights Director at Human Rights Watch, said in a statement. The organization conducted research into the town of Dohuk in northern Iraq in January and February 2015, including interviewing 20 women and girls who escaped from ISIS and reviewing ISIS statements. More news to jeer this week. The Tennessee State Senate passed two abortion measures, the Tennessean reported April 15th. The first measure requires women wanting an abortion to go through in-person counseling, followed by a 48-hour waiting period. The second measure would require any facility or doctor's office performing 50 or more abortions to be determined as an ambulatory surgical center. Online ads for high-paying jobs are shown more often to men than to women, according to a recent study from researchers at Carnegie Mellon University. The findings are raising questions about who is responsible for the potentially discriminatory patterns of complex algorithms, Al Jazeera America reported April 16th. April 14th marked a sad anniversary. The kidnapping of 276 schoolgirls from their dormitories by the extremist group Boko Haram in the northwestern Nigerian town of Chibok. At least 56 girls have escaped. 219 are still missing, reported VOA News. Child care campaigners in England question the feasibility of David Cameron's promise to double the time of weekly free child care for working parents from 15 hours to 30. The Guardian reported April 14th. Campaigners say the existing offer is already underfunded by the government, and doubling it would risk to undermine the sustainability of the sector. A new report by Georgetown Law School's Human Rights Institute found that Central American child migrants apprehended in southern Mexico over the past year have faced excessive stints in detention, deterring them from seeking asylum abroad, Mother Jones reported April 14th. The study concluded that Mexican immigration officials have failed to adequately screen children for international protection needs and did not inform them of their right to apply for asylum. Noted. The hashtag #ToTheGirls was widely used this week on Twitter after it was launched April 14th by author Courtney Summers. The author launched the hashtag the same day her young adult novel, All the Rage, was released. Her hope was that women share their best pieces of advice to young women seeking guidance and affirmation. Women on 20s, an organization that wants to put a woman's face on the $20 bill, announced its top four choices. USA Today reported April 8th. The choices are Eleanor Roosevelt, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, and Wilma Mankiller. Jody Arias was sentenced to a life sentence with no possibility of parole, ABC News reported April 13th. Arias was found guilty in May 2013 of murdering her on-off boyfriend, Travis Alexander, 5 years earlier. Arias was convicted of first-degree murder, although she maintained that Alexander was trying to attack her when she stabbed him multiple times and shot him. President Barack Obama hosted a town hall April 15th with the website BlogHer and discussed equal pay along with the cost of child care, Jezebel reported. Obama was due to speak to working mothers and explain how his proposed budget will help them support their families. A study has revealed that women who get divorced are more likely to have a heart attack than those who remain married, Time reported April 14th. The article reports that women who get divorced once were 24% more likely to have a heart attack, and those who divorce two or more times have a 77% risk.
Ready? We're back?
We're back.
We're on the air. The phone number here to call is 816-931-5534, 816-931-KKFI. And Amy and I have been sitting here talking during Women's E-News and found out that we just disagree on just about everything that we've talked about.
They're controversial issues, and I think that our conversation in disagreeing with each other, I think, reflects what a lot of people are experiencing right now, because there are just controversial issues coming up. And I think it's a great opportunity to discuss what maybe the feminist perspective is, what it could do better, whether or not we have to agree as feminists on certain subjects. And, you know, if you're someone who kind of struggles with what feminist thinking is or just wants to air your opinions about these things, we'd be happy to engage you on these matters of public interest and discourse.
You know where I'd like to begin, Amy, is a Facebook post you had yesterday. Tell our listeners about what was on that post.
Yeah, I just had a post on Facebook that I read that said, you know, it seems to me that what I don't like about feminism is that it isn't very feminine.
And it's like, and so what does that mean? Does that mean feminists don't follow the feminine model of, I don't know what the dictionary says a feminine is. I suppose it's soft-spoken, petite, dainty, feminine is girlish, lighthearted. I don't know. And Amy's looking up feminism as we speak.
Feminine. It is in the dictionary here, having qualities or appearance traditionally associated with women, especially delicacy and prettiness. And I would say, I have thought of this, I would say that is a man's definition of feminism, because that's not how women judge each other.
As feminine.
Yeah, I think that when I see women sizing each other up on who is more woman, and not that that's a healthy thing to do or at all, but it has to do often with humility. Not necessarily prettiness, but maybe respectableness of dress. I mean, when you see women sizing each other up, what do you think that they're doing? If they're not, oh, well, she's dainty, she's not, she's pretty, she's not. Women don't judge each other that way, but they still judge each other. I just don't think that's a woman's view of what feminine is.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of at a loss, because I've never really thought of, well, what's feminine? Feminine, to me, is a female. That's feminine. If she's wearing coveralls, and I would say, well, that's not very feminine. Dress, feminine.
But it's not really the prettiness of the dress. It's kind of the appropriateness of the dress, maybe?
And if she were working as a mechanic, to have on coveralls, it would be perfectly appropriate. But then if she were a mechanic, would that be feminine?
Yeah. No.
No.
Maybe.
I don't know. It is.
I think by this definition, no. But I think by my definition, yes. I think that you shouldn't have... whatever your gender identity is, challenged like that. You should say, well, you believe this way, so you aren't what you are.
You know, it doesn't even make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Feminism is not feminine. Because here's what I'm thinking this person's thinking is that feminists are loud, rowdy, aggressive, and women aren't supposed to be aggressive. We're supposed to be submissive, soft-spoken, and, you know, so in his mind, a feminist is not those things that one would think of as girly.
Yeah, well, that's possible. And, you know, I think that that's a misconception that a lot of people have with that word, is that feminist means something that it doesn't mean. Like, it means that we're trying to take over the world and that men are going to be crushed underneath our plans for world domination. And it's just not... remotely like that.
Just strictly, simply from the dictionary definition is believing that men and women are equal and deserve equal pay for equal work. It's just pretty much what it is. Equal respect. We certainly are different than men, but that doesn't make us any less. But for some reason in our society, being less than a man is less. Is viewed as less. It's pervasive. It's just everywhere. It's hard to get away from. That phone number here is 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. And we looked up masculinist. Is that what you're looking for now, Amy? No, she's doing something else. She will tell us shortly what she's doing.
No, I was just going to say that you can join the conversation at Every Woman on Facebook. So,
good.
Because I think that... since there are a lot of people that have kind of differing ideas of what these concepts are, and maybe you don't want to call in, maybe you do, but if you don't, you can join us on Facebook.
And I think we do have a caller. Amy's picking up now. The number to call here is 816-931-5534, and join this conversation and share with us what you think. Feminism is, or feminist, or whatever. Are we there yet?
All right, we have a caller. Caller, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Jack Independence.
Hi, Jack. What do you want?
Feminist, one, I think feminine by as a noun is just considered female. Feminine as an adjective has more to do with some of the soft-spoken, but not necessarily submissive. But there's a kind of a class and easiness about someone who's feminine. And someone mentioned dress. I think that applies. But when it comes to feminists, I think a lot of guys first hear anti-male, and it becomes like a caution flag. Just to too many guys, it's a red flag, but... that's my comment.
Right. Well, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. They do think it's anti-male.
Well, I mean, I think it's fine if you're a man and you consider that a red flag. It probably means you weren't a great match for that woman. All right. We've got another caller on the line. Caller, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah. My name is John. I'm in the Brookside area.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Give us your best shot here.
Someone said that they didn't like feminism because it wasn't feminine enough, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it isn't supposed to be. They have no clue as to what feminism means. It's a moral and ethical position that can be held by any gender. You know.
Right. You're very good point. Boy, we have some outstanding men that listen to this show. I just wish the world were filled with the listeners to Every Woman on KKFI.
Yeah,
there are millions of men who are feminists.
you know.
Well, and those men maybe aren't the most feminine feminists if they don't choose to be.
Well, you know, yeah, but yeah, if someone told me that I can't be a feminist because I'm not feminine because I'm a guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
That would be like telling one of the most famous Greek generals that they ever had wasn't a lesbian because he was a man. He was a man, and he was a lesbian. He was from the island of Lesbos. They're called lesbians. So anyway, that's all I have.
Well, thank you very much for that call. That's a very excellent point.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
So we have some men that get it, and there are a lot of men out there that don't get it.
Well, and there's a lot of men out there that don't get it yet. They're really great guys that just need to hear it the right framing.
And yeah, and sometimes it's just thinking about it in a different way or hearing something for the umpteenth time, and it will finally sink in. And we do have another caller, and Amy's getting them on the air now.
All right, caller, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Sharon. I'm calling from South Kansas City.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Well, this is a fine can of worms you guys have opened up here.
That's what we're good at.
As a writer, I'm fascinated with words and what makes one distinct from the other, and I've never thought about this word, but it is fascinating to think about, okay, what does this word mean? You know, there are men who are feminine and women who are feminine according to a definition that I think has to be one of those, you know it when you see it, or you know, when you experience it kind of feeling, because you were mentioning overalls. I have a really feminine pair of overalls. They've got flowers and, you know, some other doodads. And so you can't make it all about dress, all about appearance, or even all about mannerism, or even the gender. But I do think that it's interesting that when I think about the word feminist, and I have never thought about this before, is that the suffix "-ist," kind of has a bad connotation when attached to other word forms, such as racist, misogynist, classist. And it's almost unfortunate that feminist is in that line, because I don't think, and if we're talking about one of those things, it means a person who has a prejudice that that thing, either race or class, mm-hmm. to which that one belongs, is superior.
So there
was a caller that said something about that feeling of superiority, but I don't think that's what feminism was intended to be about at all.
Well, Sharon, let me cut in here just for a minute, because you've said this really interesting thing about the word origins, and what I'm hearing is when you hear the word feminism, it's kind of like John Lennon on Give Peace a Chance, and he's going isms, 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 and we don't like isms.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there was suffragist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That didn't mean people who were.
But I will tell you that is a very difficult challenge to come up with an ist word that is positive, and the only one I could think of was the suffragist.
And I would have to go back and do the research, but just off the top of my head, it seems as though feminism and feminist preceded the common use of racism and misogynists and classists and those kinds of things. The words have been around, but not in common use. So, really interesting. I don't know. We may have to rebrand ourselves.
And yeah, we have talked about that before, and it's very difficult to come up with another word. Especially since the definition for feminism is positive. But with that ism thing, I really get what you're saying, because isms are bad in our minds.
Yeah. Too bad, but okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that contribution there.
And, you know, that brings up the term womanist. I believe it was Alice Walker who came up with the womanist is to feminist what purple is to lavender. And, you know, the media have done a marvelous job of making the word, the F word, just a terrible word and scaring people to death. And there are so many women we've had on this show that when we've asked them what they thought, if they were a feminist, they were like, well, no. And when you say what the definition of feminist is, they realize they are a feminist. But in their minds, they've had this negative connotation. And I think that's because...
It could very well be that ist at the end of the word, that suffix. I mean, because we do get people that look at us when we ask them, are you a feminist? They look at us almost like we just ask them, are you a racist?
Right. Yeah.
Like it was that that impolite of a question. Like, well, really, you like we were telling them, you know, oh, yeah, everyone should be racist, but that's not the same thing.
But the feminist has been branded as a man-hating.
Well, but when you look at that word ending, like with racism, racism isn't someone who's promoting, well, I guess they could be promoting their particular race, but you don't think of it as pro races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very negative. So when you say feminist, maybe what they're hearing is that ist means I support only this one group of people. This is the only group of people, and everyone else is less than.
Yeah, I'm not letting them off the hook that easy. I'm not letting them off the hook. I think we just have to keep hammering it into them. Hammering, repeating it.
Yeah.
Do you disagree? I mean, we just have to keep repeating it, and people will begin to catch on, I think.
Well, I would love to see if anybody has a word that they think would replace feminism, but say exactly what it meant in a better way.
Can you pull up that definition of masculinist?
Yes.
And read that. That was pretty interesting. I wasn't even sure there was such a word. And when we're talking about feminist, it occurred to me there might be a masculinist. And the definition is rather interesting.
Well, it is either an adjective, which is characterized or being denoting attitudes or values held to be typical of men, or it's a noun, an advocate of the rights or needs of men. And we particularly liked this little gem from the Urban Dictionary that said, a straight white man who insists against all logic and evidence that straight white men are oppressed in a world where straight white men have a disproportionately large share of power.
So we know there are men out there who will still insist that women are not oppressed and that women have equal rights. And the interesting thing is, actually, back to equal rights, the amendment that was first introduced, I think, in 1921, is that 70 or 80% of the population thinks the Equal Rights Amendment has passed.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, could you say your first name and where you're calling from?
Jack from Independence, returning an answer to your question for a word.
Okay. All right.
And I'm an equalist, and I support equalism.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Okay.
Equalist.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that's one of the most common things we get. We get people that say equalist. I've also seen humanist, which humanist kind of has old connotations as well that are different. But I think that it's a good sentiment. except for those issues where we really do still need to work towards building women up, that women are falling behind and we need to kind of push them up to the equal status. Before we can just be equal, we kind of have to fix some things and then be equal. That's what I see feminism as.
Of course, we just passed Equal Pay Day on April 14, where some people are still in denial of that. We've learned last week with our guest, Terry Wilkie, from the
Equal. But we also learned that in some places it was worse than others. I mean, the thing is in your town, within your neighbors, with your community, you may see much greater pay equity between men and women, but there were places in rural parts of Missouri where women were getting 51 cents to the dollar. And I mean, it wasn't like men had high power executive jobs and women didn't. They were all kind of doing pretty low paying jobs in comparison.
And moving right along, taking that thread a little bit is...
Well, you know what? Before we do that,
okay,
we actually need to take a station break.
Great.
So we will be right back with more riveting conversation.
Funding for KKFI provided by the Weekly Forum at All Souls UU Church. Each Sunday at 10 a.m., the forum will feature a discussion on community issues. All Souls UU Church is at 4501 Walnut Street, one block east of Main in Kansas City. More information is at allsoulskc.org.
Support for KKFI 90.1 is provided by Middle of the Map Festival, April 23rd and 24th at Uptown Theater and 25th and 26th in venues around Westport. 130 bands including OK Go, Iron and Wine, Lord Geron, Shiner, William Elliott Whitmore, Madison Ward and the Mama Bear, Lauren Anderson, Katie Gian, Coyote Bill, Not a Planet, The Grizzly Hand, She's a Keeper, The Black Bird Review, and so many more. 4-day passes right down to day passes are at middleofthemapfest.com.
All right, and we are back here on 90.1 FM KKFI with Every Woman. I'm Amy Bell, also here with Sharon Lockhart. And we're going to give this phone number out again, and you might want to write this down because we're going to talk about that $15 minimum wage that I know some people have very, very strong opinions about, which we would love to hear. So here's the number. It is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-5534. And I know that Sharon has some pretty strong opinions about the $15 minimum wage.
Well, I think $15 is maybe a half living wage. I'm not sure it could be called even a living wage. I have been formerly 12 and a half years operating a restaurant back in the 70s, and I know, gosh, I can't remember what was the minimum wage then, $2.35 an hour or something like that. Well, we haven't advanced very far to $7.35 now, but I can tell you that no one can live on $7.35 an hour, and we have a caller calling in already. I just wanted to point out that I spoke to a man the other day and was talking to him about $15 an hour, and he said, that's ridiculous. Those jobs aren't meant for families. They're meant for teenagers, and nobody working in a fast food place deserves $15 an hour. And I can't get my head around the fact that people don't understand that adults are working in fast food restaurants and largely could be single mothers trying to support a family. And so that's just my comment.
Well, we do have a caller on the air. And caller, could you tell us your first name and where you're calling from?
Excuse me. My name's Rosemary. I'm calling from Midtown.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. Feminism, the fast food workers, you know, all of this has to do with keeping people down, and particularly women.
Good point.
Yeah, I think that what we don't realize is that women are disproportionately still the caregivers in families.
They are, and if we were equitable with our government, since we are 52% of the voting public, we'd have 52 women in Congress, in the Senate.
In the Senate, absolutely. Absolutely.
We would have our representation equitable with our numbers, and that's just not the case. So my big, well, I have many big issues, but one of my biggest issues is people get out and vote. Register and vote. Vote locally. Vote for your city council members. We have all the women on our city council, excuse me, termed out. And we need to be represented. And so do people of color.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I really like that you're talking about the big picture here. That,
well,
it's not just about the $15 an hour. It's about what we value as a society, how we treat other members of our society, and where we are able to grant a minimum status to people in America and the implications on representation. I mean, it is much more than just a hamburger.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'm not a fast food restaurant devotee at all for many reasons. But those people that work there deserve and need to make a livable wage, period, end of story.
But it isn't just the fast food workers. My daughter works with a young black man who's a warehouseman, and he was sharing with her that he makes $10 an hour doing his job, and his girlfriend makes $15 an hour. And this kind of goes back maybe to the ism thing, or I'm not sure what it goes back to, but he told my daughter that he would feel more like a man, now whatever that means, if he could make more money. Because it makes him, and is this right for him to feel put down because his girlfriend can make 15 an hour and he has a job only making 10 an hour? But he thinks he would feel more manly. And the story is that he's supporting children from a previous marriage. She's supporting children. And then he took on his sister's children. So he gets food stamps. She did tell me that, and I don't remember if she mentioned an amount. I don't know why I'm thinking $500 a month in food stamps to feed 11 people. And that brings up a whole other issue that Amy has on her plate to talk about.
Well, you know, and it's just not, I can understand his point of view only so far as I can, being a woman, but nobody in this country, male or female, should feel that they're denigrated because they're only making X amount of dollars
right.
an hour.
Well, I
to
did
feed
a
their families.
I did a wage an inflation calculation of your $2.30 that you said was in. I went with 1972. And on straight inflation, based on their really kind of not-so-generous means of calculating what inflation actually is, that would be $13.25 today.
Wow, and we're stuck at $7 and something.
Yeah. So
every human being, male or female, needs to make a living wage, mm-hmm. period, end of story. Regardless of whether you work at a fast food restaurant, whether you're a home health care worker, or whether you're an adjunct faculty. I've been an adjunct faculty before, and I know I couldn't live on what I made.
Wow.
If I didn't have another job.
Well,
and it's like, why do you go to school and get all this education and make low wages? Excuse me? I mean, nobody should make low wages, education or not. That's just not.
But it certainly doesn't put an incentive.
To me, it's a moral issue. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it doesn't give you an incentive to further your education if you aren't going to be able to do to make a better living with it.
Right. Male or female, you know, and I consider myself a feminist, but I'm certainly not anti-male making money. But it has to be equitable. Mm-hmm. That's the moral thing to do, and that's the reason I called.
Well, thank you.
We all need to be equal.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I really, when she said, I am a feminist, I wish that we had some of those, like, really obnoxious corporate radio station, like, buzzers, like, it would go ding, 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 because she's a feminist. And
we have
a little, like, pre-recorded party sound.
Yeah, you won $1 million, you're a feminist, yeah.
We need to talk them into getting us one of those where we can say, like, you call in and say, I'm a feminist, and we'll play some, like, for you.
Well, moving right along, you had an issue about who should tell us what we can do with our food stamps. And what'd you call it?
The EBT.
EBT.
And I think the one thing to be clear on is that EBT is not just food stamps, that it's just the electronic benefits card, and there's a lot of different benefits that go through that. But my biggest complaint with this whole banning people from buying cruises with EBT, and this is in Kansas. It was just signed by Sam Brownback.
Buying cruises or spending the EBT card on cruises?
I don't know. But either way, if you don't have a lot of money and you somehow wound up on a cruise, and this is such a problem that it's systematic and we need legislation to fix it, the Kansas legislature should release a list of these cruise ships that are cheap enough for people requiring government assistance to buy a ticket. Yeah. I think, like, what travel agent do we call? Because I think we could all use a cruise, and that sounds like it had to be probably the most affordable cruise ship known to anyone, and especially with the airfare getting to a cruise from Kansas. I mean, what travel agency has these super cheap rates? I really think that we as a people have a right to know.
Well, of course, a cruise is supposed to be all-inclusive. You pay for the cruise and you get the food, except I understand you have to buy your water. I don't know. There's all kinds of extra charges on
a cruise. There are so many things wrong with the claim that people are buying cruises with their EBT. I just can't even begin to imagine. But for me, probably the most likely scenario is someone who has an EBT card for child support benefits that the state has had to intervene in, which that is not state dollars, and that could be a lot of money on that card if the state has had to force collection for child support. But, you know, if that's the case, then who cares how they spend their money?
And Kansas isn't exactly known nationwide as being the smartest state. I think we've sunk to new lows, or maybe we're vying for the new lows with Mississippi, and I'm not sure if Louisiana is probably in that same boat, too, as far as how we treat people. And
well, it is kind of shocking to me that that Kansas does seem to be more in line with the Deep South than the Midwest now, and I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, something awfully bad is wrong with Kansas, I think. The number here is 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. If you have a beef, something that's been a pet peeve of yours, call us and let us know. As a feminist issue or a non-feminist issue, because all issues, feminist or not, are women's issues, because women have families and they care about our culture, our world, our community, and the planet overall. We're the caretakers, basically.
You know, I'm thinking that we don't have very much time left, and I think that we should kind of have a relatively rare discussion about abortion on this show. We don't discuss it a lot because it's not a happy subject. Despite what maybe a lot of people think, feminists aren't going around celebrating abortion. It's just we think it ought to be safe. We think it ought to be safe for the women who do find themselves in a position where they undergo a procedure like that. And in particular, this most recent thing in Kansas was a Senate bill. It was numbered 95. It's now enrolled into law. And there's a lot of misconceptions about this bill. I'm seeing a lot of people applauding Governor Sam Brownback for banning second trimester abortions. And the bill doesn't do that. The bill does not ban second trimester abortions. Second trimester abortions are still legal in Kansas. All they did was ban the safest procedure to obtain second trimester abortion. So the bill does nothing to stop second trimester abortion, and it only serves to make the procedure riskier for the woman. And I'm wondering...
And more costly, apparently.
Well, I'm sure that there's people who would applaud the victory as making it more costly, but to make it more dangerous, I don't see how that can be considered a victory. I don't see how that is a positive outcome for any of the people involved in the abortion debate. I think the worst case scenario is that abortion is legal but incredibly not safe. Like, that seems like the absolute worst.
Which just proves my point that they don't care about women at all. It's about unborn fetuses. And once the fetus hits the ground, they don't care about it either. It's about keeping women down and out and in poverty and having more children than a woman can afford. And so many single mothers out there trying to raise families.
Yeah.
Turning up pregnant and knowing that it's going to put you back into poverty or keep you in poverty forever is just not a pleasant place to be.
Well, and for me, the most important thing that I wanted to communicate about this new bill is that it does not ban second trimester abortions. It is not the victory that people think it is. And I just don't think that a lot of people would be celebrating the... They'd be going out there going, yay, we made more women at risk for complications during second trimester abortion procedures. I don't think that was anybody's goal, and I think there's a little bit of misleading the people with this bill and what it actually does, because I just don't know anybody that would celebrate women having a greater risk of severe complications. That's not the goal.
I would disagree. I would say that those males who keep propagating and some females who keep pushing, wouldn't care at all about what happened to women.
Maybe if it protected the child, but it doesn't.
Well, but it could protect the child because, as you said, the misleading thing is that a woman who's pregnant now may think, oh, I'm in the second trimester, so there's no chance of an abortion, so she doesn't even look into it.
Well, that might be true.
So that would be a victory for the so-called pro-life.
Well, but if they're going to go there, they might as well just start saying that Kansas doesn't allow abortion at all.
Well, that's the goal, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they can just start saying it now, and people might think it's true and not try to get one.
Well, yes, they could. They could start saying that. We don't want to start that rumor on
no,
the show, though.
No, don't quote us, please.
Well, that number to call is 816-931-5534. We just have a few more minutes, and surely someone out there has something to add to the conversation today or even...
Well, you know, we have one more big thing that I really wanted to talk about,
okay.
And we've only got about 5 minutes to do it, but I would love, if you have a call and you want to chime in on this, and the number again is 816-931-5534, I just have to say, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
Hillary.
Yes, Hillary. I think Hillary is very smart. I think her husband was very smart. But I may be forced to vote for Hillary, but she's not enough of a peacemaker to suit me. She's part of the system, and I know she's a woman, but just being a woman, you've got to have the values that women value, and I think women value peace and safety and harmony for our families, and certainly not overspending government Pentagon money on war-making machines, which is kind of where we are. Amy and I were discussing how many wars we start, but we choose. We're not out there spreading democracy everywhere. We certainly pick and choose. There are people we allow to kill their people all over the place, and we don't intervene. It has to do with what's in it for us, bottom line, what's in it for us. And it's not about being altruistic and spreading democracy. In fact, I would kind of question how much democracy we have in the United States at this point in time with the Patriot Act and NSA and TSA and just lots of reasons to question how democracy, how good is our democracy. I wish we had Leonard Cohen, Democracy is Coming to the USA to play. It's one of my favorite songs. But I forgot to bring the CD in. And Amy's on the telephone here. I don't know if she's got someone who wants to be on the air or not. They don't want to be on the air. They're having a private conversation over there. But we do have another phone line open to get her off the air. And she'll have to pick another caller up if you dial 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. And tell us what you think about Hillary as a feminist candidate for president. I know this is quite controversial. There's a lot of people that absolutely love her, and she thinks it's her time to be president. I'm just not sure. So give us a call. Or Amy? We need to play some music thing because I'm running out of things to say unless we get another phone caller. She's telling this person she has to get back on the air. This is good.
Well,
what was that about?
Well, I apologize for stepping out there, but I actually had a woman who was...
Here's another caller.
Bringing up one of the bad parts about... abortion, she was coerced to have an abortion.
You want me to pick this up?
Yes, you picked
up. Okay. Hello?
And they, that's one thing, too, is that a lot of people, there are people who are coerced, and that is completely and absolutely wrong. So if somebody tries to force someone to have an abortion, then that needs to be absolutely illegal. And I just wanted to mention with Sharon's synopsis of Hillary Clinton that the proper way to disagree with Hillary Clinton is to say things like she doesn't agree with me on this policy or this issue here.
I know. That's the issue.
Rather than, I don't like her outfit, or her hair looks bad, or even worse, calling her the B word.
Well, here's the other thing from Rosemary. Rosemary? I think it's Rosemary. She says, the thing to keep in mind is, who do you want dominating the conversation about the next U.S. Supreme Court justice? And that probably seals my vote for Hillary, because definitely we don't want the wrong person to be able to support a Supreme Court justice. I think we're running out of time.
I've got a caller real fast here. Caller, could you state your first name and where you're calling from? And we've got maybe a minute.
I'll just take a moment. My name's Tom. I'm calling from the Blue Springs area.
Hi, Tom.
And my comment would be that if the Democrats want to run a woman, they should run Claire McCaskill.
That's not necessarily a bad choice, and I don't think that's a bad comment. I mean, that's absolutely fair, and I love that comment.
Yeah, that's a good comment.
There's so many negatives tied up with Mrs. Clinton, and one of them would be, she accepts large amounts of money from Saudi Arabia donors, and they have a horrible women's rights record. And if she really, your walk talks louder than your talk talks, and I just don't see it. So
yeah. Well, thank you very much. I love that comment, and I think that gives our listeners something to think about. Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
You know, I'm going to say this. I do like Hillary Clinton. I'm a big fan, and Sharon is not. And our caller that we just had, and Donna's not. Uh-huh. We've got. I think I'm kind of a minority here in being
yes,
a Hillary Clinton supporter. And that's.
Well, no, we've got Rosemary. So it's two and two.
Okay.
Because we've got a protected Supreme
Court.
No.
There's two and three because we had our other caller that called in. But I think that the way the conversation goes, and I really like everybody who's listening to remember this, to be careful not to discredit Hillary Clinton based on gendered complaints.
Oh, like what dress she's wearing
like
and how her hair
dress
looks
she's
and
wearing,
what shade of lipstick.
Yeah. I don't want to hear these comments about, oh, she looked like this in that outfit or her hair looks like this or even calling her the B word. I don't want to hear it. I really do like hearing the things like, hey, Claire McCaskill would be a better candidate. Or I don't like her stance on war.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, that's the kind of things that are feminist ways to discuss the merits of a female candidate to higher office. And I think that our listeners here are doing a fine job of it, and I appreciate that. So we have to remind you to stay tuned to Urban Connections with Donna Wolf. It's coming right up for those of you who were just kind of waiting for that show to come on. And then guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson.